All right. Well, we greet each one of you in Christ's name this morning, and I'm going to go fast here, so we won't keep you long. As you know, we've been talking and sharing in Ephesians regarding husband and wife relationships. I guess I didn't do as good a job as the ladies did last Sunday because the guys want another Sunday session yet, so... we'll see how that works. One of my key points this morning was is that we do not talk about what you ladies should be doing. I wanted to very much focus on what our responsibility as men, and I trust that you as ladies, you focused on that same thing. Is that what y'all's responsibility is in relation for wife to husband, as for us was husband to wife. But it's an interesting discussion. And I do want to say thanks to each one of the ladies that shared last Sunday. That can be a challenge because if you're not used to getting up front and sharing, it can have its own set of challenges. This morning, what I want to look at quickly is in your handout, you'll see I've got Matthew chapter 5. And I want to thank those that were responsible the other week at our camping time to have the Beatitudes, which that brought to my mind, and it was like, wow, this really ties in. And what I want to do is look at Matthew chapter 5 and look at it in regards to how this relates to what we've been talking about in the husband and wife relationship. There's three verses that I want to share, and then it has... one verse sandwiched in there, and then there's three more verses that we want to share, and then it goes on to a little bit different slant. But there in Matthew 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The way I want you to think about this is, men, husbands, love your wives because blessed are the poor in spirit. Husbands, love your wives because blessed are those who mourn. Stay with me. Blessed husbands, love your wives because blessed are the meek. And then we go back and we do the same thing for the ladies. Wives, respect, or wives, submit to your own husband, because blessed are the poor in spirit. Wives, submit and respect your own husband, because blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Wives, submit and respect your husbands, because blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The poor in spirit would have to do with, I would look at it as not being arrogant, not being a know-it-all, not going forward and just being this person that no one wants to be around. But the next one I want to get to is, blessed are those who mourn. I'm like, wow, what in the world, what does that mean? It does not mean blessed are those who mourn because you're married. It means here, blessed are those who mourn, meaning blessed are those who recognize their own undoneness, their own depravity, and that without some help from our Heavenly Father and from without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're nothing. And so we mourn for our own unrighteousness, our own selfishness. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that are easy to be entreated. They don't rise up. It doesn't mean blessed are those that are weak, but they're meek. Maybe you even have a better answer than someone else, but you allow someone else's answer to stand in a conversation. But as I was looking at these different things here, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, and the meek, even if we just apply these three to our relationships, how much different could they be? How many times would bad situations really not be a bad situation because there'd be no opportunity for the situation to get bad? But I want to hurry on. Verse 6 says then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Brother Dwight shared with the kids the other Sunday about being right, doing what is right. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. And here it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So if we look at these previous three verses and then put that in the context of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then these 3, 4, and 5, those verses will become a lot easier to apply to our own lives. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, when you're hungry, you can't hardly think of anything else. You go after food. When you're thirsty, it's like everything you do, your mouth is just dry. In fact, my mouth is dry just talking about it. So if we can look at our lives and look at our depravity and look at our need for God and then recognize without Him, there is no fulfillment. There is no satisfaction. And we realize that looking in the world around us. People are searching, but they don't. So many people do not have that power and that presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives to fill that void. And so they're looking for other things. Let's hurry on. And again, I apologize because I am moving swiftly through these verses here. There's a lot that we could get out of, but I just wanted to skim off the top of several of the Beatitudes here. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful. And again, apply it to yourself as a man or as a lady, as a husband, as a wife. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And each one of us, we need desperately God's mercy in our life. Blessed are the pure in heart. In Jeremiah, I think it's 17 verse 9, says that the heart is deceitful. Well, here it says, blessed are the pure in heart. So he's recognizing here, Jesus is recognizing that the heart is deceitful, but blessed are those who have a pure heart, a heart that has recognized that in and of itself it is deceitful and that we need a change. We need something different to move in and through us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You notice it does not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. And Brother Joel alluded to that this morning in the testimony time. We have, in our United States of America, we have an army, and they would be called peacemakers. That would be one of their titles. No, I'm sorry. They would be called peacekeepers. We are not peacekeepers. We are peacemakers. As a non-resistant people, we are peacemakers. We don't even go and tell the government that they shouldn't go to war. But on the same token, we also cannot for conscience sake go to war because we are peacemakers. How about in your marriage? How about in, if you're not married, in your daily life? How many times is a situation, not a situation, if I would apply that to my life of being a peacemaker? If we are that, it says we will be called the sons of God. Now, we'll go on to another phase. And this is not husband and wife here. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For the most part, that's not us. Now, for some of you in here, that can be your story. As a spouse, when there's relationships that aren't the way they should be, when there's separation, when there's dysfunction, that can be a a persecution. And it says, and they say all manner of falsehood against you. They say things against you falsely. I think it hurts worse when someone speaks a lie against you than when they say something about you that is awful, that's true. Especially when it's something that's awful about you that you know is not true, and somebody's spreading that. And we say, well, it's not you, don't worry about it. Easier said than done. But it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. And I underline that word falsely. Because if somebody says evil against you as a believer, and it's true, it might not be right the way the person said it, it might not have been in the correct situation, but the only thing I can do and you can do if someone says something evil against you and it's true is I think I need to look at myself. I think you need to look at yourself and say, well, although the situation, the way they treated it was not correct, but it is a true statement and I need some correction here. But then it goes on in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Sometimes we take great delight in our persecutions of how people treat us. And like, yeah, that's what they did to the fathers of old. When actually I think God looks down and is like, dude, you just had it coming. You asked for this one, and it did not need to be. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Sometimes you are your own worst enemy. Maybe most times. We bring things on ourselves and then we try to give God's word credit for what's happening. When actually it's just me having the lack of one or more of the Beatitudes evident and in control in my life. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:32. That is talking about the husband and wife relationship. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now listen closely. This is a great mystery, but I speak to you concerning Christ and the church. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how then shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Brothers and sisters, when we get this thing right, even if we get it close to right in our lives, by the way we flesh out what God's Word says about how He wants us to live in relationship with each other, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's son and daughter, whether it's father and mother, whether it's someone in your church family. But specifically this morning we're talking about this mystery that he's speaking about, of where a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they shall become one. When you see the one, you see the other. When you see the other, you see the one. My question this morning with the guys was, how much do you match your wife? I'm not saying that you look feminine. I'm saying that we look like we belong together. And I think sometimes, ladies, don't poke your husband, but I think sometimes us men do a pretty poor job of complimenting you. And I'm talking about when we walk down the street, the way we look and the way you look. I'll leave that. Y'all can talk about it more when you get home.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its savor.
People are watching. I think it was Brother Jason Reed that shared this story. And it was to do with a missionary lady, I think it was. She was married, and something happened that... And they knew her, the pagans knew her very well. She had relationship with them, and things were potentially happening, good things, and something happened to her marriage. They divorced. Here you have the missionary who is trying to set an example and to be a witness, and they divorce. What do you do? It didn't change. People still took her advice. They still came to her. They were still in friendship with her and still respected her. But then something happened, and that is she remarried. And after that, it was like, you're done. They would have nothing to do with her. These pagans knew their scripture. The divorce, they could be okay with, but they knew what scripture said, and she lost her seasoning of salt. She was good for nothing in that sense, but to be thrown out because she was no longer effective. What are you doing? What am I doing in my marriage, in your marriage, that as people look at you and you're trying to be a witness, you're trying to be a testimony, and you're minimizing your saltiness because of your conduct? It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. I don't know if you like that or not. I don't know if that appeals to you, to be known as a city that's on a hill, that people are just watching you. Don't you sometimes just want to get away? And it's like, I'm just tired of being watched. But that's who we are. The people in our communities, they know about us. They might even know what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to dress. Way more than what you realize. Let your light shine. And it says, so that people may see your good works. So in order for your light to shine, they have to see some evidence in your life. So the effectiveness of your light shining is your works. The other Saturday, yesterday, a week ago, we were at a funeral at my uncle's in Pennsylvania. And my brother and I were in this coffee shop with two mother siblings, Diane and... Anyhow, three mother siblings. My brother and I were talking Dutch to each other, as we do. And this other gentleman came in with a young guy, little kid, and I seen him. He had a straw hat on, and he had a little beard, and he had suspenders, and a shirt that was a real light plaid shirt. Well, he came over to me, and he's like, "I heard y'all. What language are y'all talking? Is that German?" I was like, "Well, Pennsylvania Dutch." He's like, "Oh," I said, "Schwedisch du Deutsch." He's like, "Yeah." And so then I was looking at him, and I was like, "So, are you Mennonite?" He's like, "No, I'm Old Order Amish." I'm like, "Oh," and I just grabbed his shirt, and I was like, "Was checky him? Why the checkered shirt?" And I think I embarrassed him because he's like, "Oh, well, I don't really know why. I don't know." I knew, I believe I'm right, that if he'd have been an Old Order Mennonite, he'd have been okay wearing that shirt. But what confused me is he had that shirt on, but he had a beard. The Old Order Mennonites do not have beards. But he had the straw hat on of an Amishman, and he had suspenders on of an Amishman. So he was sending a mixed signal to me. And I don't think that he would have this little guy from South Carolina, as he found out, I don't think he had any idea that this little guy from South Carolina would have any idea that he is sort of on the fringes here. He was sending me a mixed signal. Because I can look at him, you can look at him, and you can tell the ladies, okay, they're from Lancaster, or no, these ladies are from Holmes County. These men are not from Lancaster. These men are from Holmes County. This man might be from Indiana. And I'm talking about the Amish. How much, even in our lives, do the people around us, they know what to expect out of you? And how much of our witness is minimized by them knowing how you're supposed to conduct yourself and you don't? And they're not going to say anything, maybe. Maybe they don't have as much nerve as I did, but I was curious. But I wonder really what he went home and told his wife that evening about this guy from South Carolina. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. Gina and Jolene and Kevin are going to come up right now, and we're going to sing a song. Yeah. Then we'll be done. Remember, we spoke in Ephesians 5 of singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And remember how blessed you were the other time we did that? Did y'all not know? Did I not call you about this?
I missed that
memory. Yeah, well, okay. I must not have.
Which one are we
seeing? Stepping into Light. Do you know that, Mr. Kevin? Okay.
You gotta keep it low if I sing.
Okay.
Jay and I are both elders.
It's too low. I can't sing it.
What do you want to sing? Bass or tenor?
Bass.
Okay.
Hey, what if better he can sing lead? Jenny can sing tenor.
Okay.
And I'll sing alto. She'll sing
okay.
Tenor. Can you read?
Yeah, some that pitch player.
Just bellow.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Pressing more closely on Him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward still upward will follow our guide. When we shall see Him the King in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Thanks. It was interesting to watch y'all. Y'all were smiling. I don't know if you were totally amused or you were also blessed. I'm sure you were also blessed. Again, as much as we practiced beforehand on that song, which was that much, but we can bring praises to God, our Savior. I pray God's blessing y'all tonight as you meet in care groups and this next week. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father, thank you again for being our God. Thank you that you are worthy of our trust. You're worthy of our praise. I pray, God, that you would be with us as we go from here. Would you help us, God, to be that salt, to be that light, that by our works, those around us could see you living and reigning through us. God, I pray that you would make us mindful, that we would not send conflicting signals to those that are watching. Would you help us to be mindful of how you want each one of us to conduct our lives each moment of each day? Thank you again for each one that's here this morning. Would you care for us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.